I can't believe I'm the first one here. Oh my God. It
I know you.
never happens.
And
Yay.
I'm going to get to talk to you later too. I'm so excited.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really grateful. Kim, hello. How are you both?
Good. So good
Happy
to
to
see
be here. I
you.
had to move a client call, and I was so nervous I wasn't going to be able to figure out a time that worked for her, and it did, and I'm here, and I'm so glad.
Yay. That's awesome.
Yeah. Rose,
All right.
Angie.
I'll give us all
Hi,
a number right
Angie.
now.
Oh, here. My notes.
It's so funny. Now I see Angie and I think of how tall you are, and I'm like, oh, it's not just this much of you. There's more that I recognize and feel. It's so great.
It's always different after you meet people in person. It's
Yes.
true. All right. Well, I don't know how many of us are going to be here today. As I always say with these integration calls, it's always the perfect circle. It's always like the perfect amount of people. We'll kind of get exactly what we need. So I've been looking forward to today. It feels like it's been forever since we were together in Asheville. But it's really only been probably 4 weeks, not even, I don't think. So I hope that you've all had a really good month. And the purpose of our call today is to follow up and go deeper and integrate what's been moving through since our retreat. Around shadow. I've got some questions to start us off, which I will ask in a minute, but this is really opportunity for us to most importantly to connect back in to what we experienced, looked at the retreat, to what was important, and then to see like how has it been, how have you been working it for yourself, for your clients, what questions do you have, how can we go deeper? Oh, Kim's saying in the chat, you all look like a family. I know, it's like after being together in person, it's just completely different. I almost wish our first retreat would have been in person. So that way we could have traveled the year having had that already. But we couldn't do shadow off the bat. Okay, I'm going to ask you some questions first, just for you to take some notes on and some self-reflection, and then we'll go from there. Whether you did some of the homework that I sent, the 10 days of journaling or not, and whether you've been kind of actively thinking about your own shadow even, or not, I am guessing that each one of you has been noticing different things about your shadow over these last weeks, how it shows up, how shame shows up, where you're judging. Maybe you've seen some shifts. Maybe you're noticing some new things for yourself. So the first is just a general question of what have you been noticing about shadow since we've been together? For yourself first. What have you been noticing either about specific shadows that you're working with or in general? What have you been noticing for yourself? Just kind of think on that, make some notes for yourself. Thanks, Simona. I always forget to put it in the chat. And if you did, if you've been either doing the homework that I sent or your own homework for yourself, what have you been noticing about the process of coming back and leaning into your shadow? However you've been doing it, whether it's been through journaling or simply thinking on it or movement or collage, what have you been noticing or seeing or learning about the process of consistently coming back or semi-consistently coming back and leaning into the shadow, holding space for it. And then, if there's anything that you want to acknowledge or celebrate, that may have already been covered in the what have you been noticing about shadow for yourself. But if not, do you have any celebrations, any forward movement that you want to acknowledge, inner or outer? Maybe there was a moment where you noticed you were in hyper or hypo, and you kind of were able to bring yourself to the middle. Maybe something naturally happened that wouldn't have happened before. So, anything that you want to celebrate or acknowledge for yourself? Hey, Solveig, did you just pop on? Good to see you. I've been just asking some questions around what have you been noticing about around your first yourself for your shadow since we last met. If you've been working on leaning in, owning, any of that, what have you been noticing? And then, last question for now to think on, just to stir the cauldron and get our conversation going. Have you been bringing it to your client work? And if so, how has that been going? What do you want to celebrate? What have you noticed? What questions do you have? So, if, have you been bringing it to your client work? And if so, what have you noticed? What do you want to celebrate? And what questions do you have so that you can go deeper, be more effective? All right. So, who wants to get us started off? What do you want to bring forward? What is feeling important? What do you want to celebrate or share or take a look at today? Simona, thanks for starting us off.
It's funny because well, it doesn't really matter. But yeah, so I want to celebrate a couple things and then share a couple things. So, celebrating the different ways that everybody has impacted me that from the retreat, like random side sentences that like pop into my head at different times and create different just knowings. It's been really incredible. And actually it's funny because that literally it keeps ha it's like crackly popping all over the and it just happened just now as I raised my hand. And then I remembered something that Angie once said, which was like you might not be noticing all the different ways you are supported. Because my whole story always was like I have to raise myself, I have to take care of my sister and brother. And I do a lot of that stuff. But when she said that, I was like, oh, look at this, like even just now, I'm getting to be supported. Like, and so thank you for that. And just there's so many little micro moments of that. Someone saying something and it pops into my head later. So that feels really important to share in a group of just thank you to every single one of you. To Bruce, my accountability person. So on the business Q&A, Joanna invited us all to make a commitment and then to text someone who was on the Q&A to tell them what their commitment was. And Bruce is my person, my commitment, which was an aligned agency to know that I should do individual outreach because to know that I am in integrity and the person is in their own agency and can say yes or no. So that felt really important. The first one I did, like I had to take a shower. I was sweating so bad from fear, but now it's actually really fun. And it's part of my sacred routines that I do Monday through Thursday for the first hour of my workday. So that feels really good. And so, yay, I'm celebrating that.
Can I say something about that?
Yes.
I'm so just so excited to hear it, to hear all of it. And it feels like this piece that you were just sharing. I mean, you already probably know this, Simona, but just in
Oh.
case, it feels like this piece that you're just sharing that you get to be in your integrity to reach out, and then the other person gets to have their agency in how they take it in or respond it. That feels so directly related to everything that you were exploring at the retreat, not just around the mischaracterization, but around personal responsibility and all of it. It feels like such a beautiful outcropping of it.
It really does. Thank you. So I counted that as my shadow work for that reason. I know other people are doing beautiful collages and writing themselves, and I was like, this is mine, this is mine. So yeah, that was my big giant share. And then about doing work with the clients, I wanted to share. I've I'm really looking forward to hearing what everybody else has been doing. And I just wanted to share a couple of really like experiences. So I wanted to share like I one was maybe I'll just share one, which was I combined it with the follow your impulse. And so I had, but I used the line as the anchor. So I had the client like walk the line to one, say the mantra, walk the line to the other, say the mantra. Actually, no. Yeah, well, it felt like it got sticky at one spot. So I had them then follow their impulse. Like if you could do anything from the realistic to the fantastical, like what would you do? Na 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 na. And then bring it back, have them walk to the line to the other side, say the mantra again, and then speak to the alignment. And it really was cool. And it wasn't like something I planned to do. It was just what was needed in that experience in that moment. But I thought I'd share it with you because like the it was like I think the combination of the following impulse, but also like the couple of times back and forth with the line being like the anchor point and then to the aligned. So that's my whole share. But thank you guys. I'm gonna pause or mute and
I love that. Thank you for sharing that client, not case study, but that client experience with us. I want to pull some things because I think there's a lot of great learning in there. So first of all, just first thing that everybody has heard me say 100 times, but we could see it so clearly in Simona's example, always coach the what based on the who, right? If you go in with an agenda, it has to, right? And not don't be attached to outcome. It has to look like this. We're doing the hypo exercise exactly this way, and it's gonna go off without a hitch or right, whatever it is. If Simona had done that, she wouldn't have been present enough with the who in front of her in that moment to pull other tools out of her toolbox and to get creative in the ways that she did to meet the client's needs. So that's number one, just a great reminder for that. Number two, also a great reminder of you do get to mix and match. These none of these tools have to be in isolation. You can mix and match them as needed. Simona mentioned they were doing the exercise and it got a little sticky. And then that's when you brought in some of the choose your own shadow adventure. So brilliant. And now that we have like know that technique and we understand shadow, the dots that I want to connect there, other than they're both about shadow, is that the choose your own journey technique is a great thing to use when a client is resistant to wanting to lean in to the impulse shadow energy. It really helps take the shame out and supports the client to be willing to explore that impulse that they have maybe previously judged as terrible or wrong, or I could never, or it's not right, or whatever it is. So it was so awesome that you used it in that sticky moment, to be able to kind of like take out some of the collapse or the shame or whatever was going on, in the leaning in to the one side or the other, and then be able to continue with the exercise. I'm sure there was a lot more nuance in how you did it, and I'm simplifying, but I wanted to pull that out because that exercise, the choose your own exercise, is a great way when someone is stuck or collapsing to find the inspired energy to lean in. Good. Anything that anyone wants to share about anything that Simona shared, either on the client stuff or anything else, what clicked for you, or question that maybe Simona, if you're willing to answer anything else about the client experience.
willing to be answer anything about the client experience or anything about my own experience.
Angie.
Yeah, that last little bit that you added, because one of the questions I had is about, I feel like I'm getting to this place and then I want a like, and now what? Like it feels like I want something a little beefier to add on, and that kind of impulse work I think would be really helpful.
for just giving that part more voice, more agency, like really being able to access the wisdom and the power of that part. I think the choose your impulse is going to be a fun way to do that.
Yeah, it's a way to either start off or a way to go deeper.
Yeah.
And I'd also just say, and you know this, and everybody knows this, but I'll just say, like, notice in a session too if a client has energy for more, because, and how you're using it, right? Because the choose any of the exercises can be used for breakthrough or for integration. But you want to be clear on your intention, because it's going to shift how you hold the exercise for the client. We don't necessarily want breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough in a single session. What we want more is breakthrough and then deeper opportunity to embody and integrate. So it might be that the choose your own after the hyper hypo is exactly right, and the client has the energy for it and all the things. Or it might be that it's actually too much, like energetically, and what's actually needed more is a sinking into just like, what is that energy in the body? More about what it would do. Maybe the shadow interview that we did the last day of the retreat, or so always coach the what based on the who, but it felt important to say that, like, the intention is important. Does that land, Angie?
Yes, and I really was speaking more to the integration part. I'm already using it with some of my clients, and so it feels like we've kind of started this journey together now with this. And for myself too, as I'm unlocking deeper layers of this, I've been finding myself just wanting more to play with. And so it's a good reminder. So I really was speaking more to the integration part, but thanks for making that distinction.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for saying it so that I could make the distinction for everyone. Anything else that's sparking from what Simona and Angie said before we, if you've got something new before we move on to that? Kim.
So I have a client that is a little bit, it goes a different direction, it feels like, than these, in that she will have a breakthrough or some sort of an aha, and I'm beginning to think that this might be a response to trying to get away, but she gets distracted. She wants to share other stories or tell me about something else, and it's very interesting because it keeps happening and I keep pulling her back with me, but then I'm like, well, is that what I'm wanting to do, or should I follow her, right? And trying to figure out how to coach her without having a prescribed outcome, that I'm looking for. What is it that she's looking for in getting distracted? But I'm just sort of noticing that that's an interesting difference, because I keep having a difficult time keeping her with and going deeper. She likes to stay at the surface, right? It's more of a broader experience for her, and so I'm not sure what my question actually is, but I'm just
Well,
noticing.
I mean, so tell me, let me reflect back what I'm hearing first, and then we can see what the question is. What I'm hearing is with this client, you'll work with her and you'll have it sound, I think you said it first, like she'll have a breakthrough. And then as soon as the breakthrough happens, she's wanting to pull this in and pull that in, or tell you this story or that story, and your sense of that kind of pulling or looking in other places is almost that she's avoiding the break. Even if it might be related to the breakthrough, your sense energetically is that it's a little bit of avoiding the actual now being with the breakthrough and embodying it and going deeper with it. Am I
Yeah,
getting
she
that
has,
right?
yes, and it's it's usually related. She's usually, telling stories that are where she's seen herself in some new awareness, that where she has recognized this challenge or this problem, but to get her to stay and deepen is really hard. And I just need to
Yeah.
think into that. It sounds like it may be this avoidance issue that.
Would you like some thoughts or
Yeah.
tosses on
That's,
that?
yeah.
Okay, great. So, because what she's sharing is related to the breakthroughs, that might be important cognitive processing that she is then doing. Like, oh, and now I'm seeing how that, oh, and when I did that. So we don't necessarily want to cut that off because that might be important connecting the dots that she's speaking out loud. That being said, you can have both, right? There, you can allow her to have that opportunity in the right moment. And I don't know when you'll have to see when the right moment is. And then also not use that as an avoidance to be with the embodiment or to go deeper with it. And so really, one thing I would recommend is to have a conversation with her about just this and to explore it together. And, in the ways that we learn in sacred depths, creating awareness, I might not be getting this right, so let me know. But here's something I think I've been noticing, right? And really celebrate the breakthrough, like whatever the breakthroughs are, like you get this new awareness and it's amazing. And I love that you're pulling and it's creating all of these other bridges for you, and you're connecting the dots. And I want us to be able to have that in our space because I see that that is important for you. And here's what I also notice. And so, what I'd really like to do in our work together is for you to have the opportunity to do both and then ask her if that sounds accurate and if she's open to that. And then from there, if she is, you can kind of talk about, each situation is different, but that's sometimes when she has a new awareness before she goes into all of the connections. How would it feel for her for you to hold a more kind of embodied space or a space for her to go beyond her mind to really feel into it? And then what I'd say, Kim, is you might have to negotiate that or explore it. It sometimes it works out exactly so, other time, but she'll get so much learning, whatever comes through, and that can bring you down to some belief work or fear work or whatever it is. But ultimately, if, and I'm pretty sure she will, and when she gets to the space where she's like, okay, if there's time right then and there, I would maybe bring her back to the last potent breakthrough and have her feel it. And it's just to start practicing in a moment where she doesn't have resistance and opening that pathway more. I just said a lot, so I'll stop. What are you hearing that is feeling important for you?
Well, I hadn't really noticed this until as we were speaking earlier, and I'm thinking of a pattern that I keep seeing, and it feels like I really hadn't. I was kind of judging, I think, the distraction, and that maybe that is a process for her that's important. So I appreciate thinking about that and not discounting it, but that may be her pathway in order to come back to a more deep understanding. And will she be okay if I invite her into more of the shadow, the discomfort piece? Will she might be more willing if she's been able to talk about freely what she's already noticed. So I appreciate that a lot. And also this idea of asking her and having a conversation with her. I actually thought about that at our last call last week, because I kept feeling I was wrangling her back. And so I think I need to find an opportunity to have a conversation that feels like it's right in the moment. So thank you.
Good. Yeah, good. Simona, I have a feeling, do you want to respond or add something for Kim or toss something her way?
I
Is that what
do if there's time, because it's got to do with my favorite topic, which is neurobiology. And I heard you, Kim, say the word judgment. And I just want a name for all of us because it's fresh on my mind because I was just relearning it. And that every time I hear it, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I forgot to remember that. So when we are in threat, like physical threat, we respond with fight or flight. If we're in social threat, we respond with judgment and agenda. And so our bodies are scanning, our autonomic nervous systems are scanning for our safety 4 times every single second. Am I safe? Am I safe? Am I safe? If we don't feel physically safe, we'll brace, we'll run, we'll have a response in our body. But if we don't feel socially safe, the equivalent of fight and flight in a socially safe setting is agenda and judgment. So if you have judgment pop into your head right there, and then the ideal is then you meet yourself with self-compassion, like, oh, of course I had judgment. That's a normal human reaction, but I'm going to try and let that go. Because if you don't tend to your own judgment, if we don't as coaches, and I'm not, this isn't a you thing, Kim. This is for sure. I've got all my own stuff. But if we don't tend to a judgment that pops in or an agenda, which obviously, if I'm still learning aligned agency, I've gone into agenda a lot of times in my life. I've got that one pretty much down. But like, if we don't take the time to be like, oh, I'm noticing I'm an agenda, or I'm noticing and I'm in judgment, our clients are going to be scanning their environment for safety 4 times per second. They are going to feel that in the space. They will not feel safe. And then they won't be able to go into their own deep shadow work, because that requires like an integrated brain. So that's what I want to share about judgment.
Thank you. That's actually really lovely. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, Simona. I was just taking notes. Love that. Good. Who else? Either on anything we've already been discussing or something new? Rose.
First, I love what you just said, Simona, the scanning and the 4 times per second, and wow, that's amazing. So I will say about shadow that it's the gift that just keeps on giving when you start diving into it. So I have just been doing a lot of shadow work since our retreat, and one of the big awarenesses is that. Is this idea of the continuum, the shadow, that it is not this binary right or wrong, black and white deal. And so I think what's happened for me is that my understanding of shadow, the shadow even I worked with in Asheville, you know, the sloth is just the expression of what the real shadow is, which is for me, it's about being seen and not dimming my light, shining my light. And so the sloth just likes to express it when it's not dimming. So that was helpful. And I've had, you know, some, I guess celebration would be that I've, you know, I've been out there. I had a photo shoot for, which is about changing the conversation about aging. And there's actually a powerful video, one that I've, you know, I've just had vulnerability hangovers, just being seen. It's just, and so I haven't even published this other powerful video that the photographer took, where I'm having a statement about what my purpose and passion is. And because, and I've been literally sick since I did this, but it's okay. I'm just really learning a lot. And so a couple of things that I'm noticing is that will help me, I believe, is to recognize that whatever I'm doing, I mean, this whole process of being seen, because our light is supposed to shine. Each of us, that's what we're here for to do. I know this. And that by my, you know, trying to second guess and manage the outcomes of, you know, millions of people that I cannot possibly manage, you know, what I'm doing is getting in the way of what the purpose is, which is to be, you know, is to help others. And I've had the impact just to the little I've done is I've had, you know, a young Asian American coaching colleague was in tears this week, thanking me for showing up with the courage I have, because if her grandmother had done this, the last 10 years of her life would have been totally different. And she's just crying. And then other friends and acquaintances are sort of being triggered to show up themselves and are reaching out and getting photographs. And so I'm going, hey, this is bigger than me. And so it's just getting over myself. So there's just a lot of, you know, growth that I'm involved with. And so it's, and at the last minute the process of doing this collage was really, and I don't know if you can see it, but I created this mountain. This is all torn paper stuff, but this mountain, and it's like my shadow is, it's all embedded in this. And meaning that if I live in the open, I'm aligned. And every time I veer away from that, I'm in some aspect of shadow, either hyper or hypo. And so if I'm not in the open, if I start to contract, or, you know, health is happiness. What I'm learning is when, you know, I'm not attending to my nervous system, I literally get sick. And so that's my shadow. So anyway, it's just been a beautiful experience of, I don't know, in between feeling sick and terrible, I'm really happy and excited. So there you go.
Yay, Rose, I can feel it so much. Yes, to everything that you just shared. I am like, I can feel not only how you're just integrating so many of the, like really embodying so many of the lessons, you're in action, you're putting yourself out there, you're allowing yourself to shine. And you know, when you said, I got chills through so much of what you said, but particularly when you said, you know, we are truly meant to shine. I believed that you fully believe that. I can see it in your share, and I can see it in the actions that you've been taking. So nicely done.
I actually do believe it. And I don't know the how yet of all those, you know, cellular memory patterns that came from way, way long ago, how that all gets overridden. But I do know it, I mean, it happens certainly in the doing and in the experiencing. And so, and I'm just so grateful for all the witnessing in Asheville, the witnessing since in our group, you know, the work that we did. It's just, it was truly profound, really life-changing for me. So I really want to thank you.
Lisa.
So may I open up a new situation? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would love your thoughts, guidance about next steps for a client. A little background. I brought her up at the retreat. This is a woman, she's a bit older than me. She's in her 60s. She's deeply committed to her spiritual path. We share the same, we're both Baha'is. We both follow the teachings of the Baha'i faith. So I know her spiritual community intimately. But she, right now, like her whole life is just to be of service, particularly of youth at risk. She does work, Joanna, you will know, in Durham, down in the city of Durham with at-risk youth. Okay, so that's a little background. But I was aware even before the retreat, there's deep shadow happening in her life. And so when I came back from the retreat, at my group coaching call, I introduced the concept of the shadow and talked at high level, gave a little overview. And even that just opened something up for her. And she spontaneously decided that she was going to take the risk. And this was so scary for her to, what did she call it? She said, vomit. She said, I'm going to vomit this out. It was the pain that she's experienced. She ended up creating a timeline of like the past 10 years of pain she's experienced inside our spirit, you know, the spiritual community, just with individuals, you know, just with individuals, and all the conflict. Okay. So she did that spontaneously. And then we got on our one-on-one, and it was so helpful that she did that. She must've spent hours, but just, I could see patterns, you know, I could start to see patterns. And, but here's, one question, like a technical question, is she was referring to this timeline, this journal, this vomit that she did as my shadow. right? And technically, I mean, just between us as practitioners, I'm thinking that whole timeline of her life, that was an outpicturing of different shadows, but it wasn't necessarily her shadow. So I'll just hold that for a minute. But a shadow that we did identify is, you know, as a spiritual person, it's not okay for me to have needs, you know, or your other, as a spiritual person, I must always be selfless, right? And one of the very poignant, is that the word? She gave an example where she does this work with youth, and she's the one always taking pictures for the group. Like, she works on a team, and she realized, well, boy, I'd really love to have me in some of these pictures, right? And so, and that felt like a big ask. So she asked, you know, is it okay? Could someone, you know, get some pictures of me? Someone did it, gave it to her, and shame flooded her system. Shame flooded her system. And so, shadow, right? Telltale sign, I'm thinking.
That's one of them, yeah.
And then, so that's the hypo. And then another thing that when we got on the call, she became, you know, she said, I so desperately would like to be liked, you know? So neediness on the one hand, and not, it's not okay to have needs, right? So that was one that I identified. Let me share one other, and then I like your thoughts about next session, because on this one, we were kind of high level.
Yeah.
I saw this shadow, the need, the one related to needs, but we haven't done any work. And there's another shadow that is so interesting, so amazing to me, and you'll all know why in a second. The other thing that's not okay as a spiritual person is it's not okay to create disharmony or disunity. You have to be a force of unity, right? And so when she's in situations where she's very insightful, she's mature, she's intelligent, she sees dynamics, she has ideas, she can see things other people can't see, but to bring them up seems to make people uncomfortable and it creates disunity. So the hypo, whatever the flip side is, everybody is not in their power, you know, she's not in her power, and just sort of there's codependent enabling of just stagnation, and people just, you know what I mean? Like avoiding growth edges.
Yeah.
And this is the one that's so interesting to me, because it's the, we attract the people that we need to, you know, we teach what we need to learn and attract. Like she's having trouble knowing how to step into her power, which is my deal, right? In a way, and be a change agent in a way that's generative and you know, that's okay, that's, you know, that's not bad because you're creating disunity. So again, you can't make this stuff up, you know, like imagine that this is my client. So anyway, that was a lot of backstory, but hopefully it was useful to everybody to kind of like, this is real, you know, and these are, she's stuck inside of so much suffering, you know, she's just suffering, and it's, and I'm so happy that it's can be, you know, it can be broken through.
Yeah. Well, and what I was going to say is she's stuck, but she's making progress. So yeah. First of all, so well done in the sharing with the group. And mm-hmm. It clearly did, like, it sparked her to do shadow work, because that making of that timeline and that history of the pain, you're saying like, no, that's not her shadow, but that was shadow work. Why was it shadow work?
Yeah.
Because she was willing to look. She may not have realized it consciously, but I think there was some, maybe not the words that we're using, she was willing to look both at her needs, mm-hmm. and at the importance of sometimes having disharmony, because she wouldn't name the pain in the community that if there wasn't more of an opening. to those two things, right? Those that was the beginning of shadow work right there. She's starting to own that she has needs, and there are moments of disharmony in spiritual community or anywhere. Huge. Just that alone. Even if you didn't do another thing ever again, that having a little bit of a different perspective, like even with shame coming up after pictures, whatever, that's a perspective that she can't unperspective anymore, you know, for the rest of her life, right? So first of all, well done, yay for her to have that now for herself. It's so huge. Just that willingness, right? Especially we know it's probably something that's been in her forever, like decades, right? Okay, so then from there, did you discuss these two different shadows, or is it just you're seeing them?
It's more me seeing it, yeah.
So I think on the next session, the next piece is to start to connect the dots that you're sharing here, and to connect the dots between the two of them and this history that she's created, and to just explore the connection there together so she can start to see that. And then from there, you know, depending on how the conversation goes, you can ask her if she'd like to go deeper. And if she would, I would have her choose which one. They're both related. So by working on the one, you'll work on the other. You may end up working on both separately, whatever. But I would ask her which one feels like it has more juice to it. You know, which one would she like to look at more deeply? And then you can do the hyper-hypo if you want to do that. You can do a choose your own shadow journey. If there's a particular memory that she might have, you can have her lean in maybe to her needy one, because I'm assuming that's the one she goes to least often.
Right.
And start to become friends with this real needy one inside of her as a way of moving to that aligned place in between. So then you've got choices. Or you can do a befriend your fear around neediness or disunity or whatever it is. So you've got lots of different tools that you can then use, but I'd first connect even more dots and awarenesses. How does that land?
Good. Yeah. I know we all know this, but I just feel so privileged to be the person, you know. She's so ripe. I don't think I've ever had a coaching client that is just so like, this has gotta, she's just so ripe to grow out of this. And so that makes it kind of easy for me, except I guess the thing is like, I can feel the energy, like it's me being able to hold the container and provide a little bit of a structure to unpack it in a way that like doesn't overwhelm her or both of us. Some of my initial thoughts, because she is so ready to have a breakthrough.
I think so. Again, I think she's already had a breakthrough. Yeah,
right, you're right.
Even from the way you were describing her in Asheville to the way you were not describing her as like ripe with possibility in Asheville. You were like, she's stuck in the way she understands spirituality and God. And like, so I just want to point that out too, Lisa, like already so much has shifted in the last month with the work that you've done with her. I really just want to acknowledge that. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, just that, like I'm convinced it was the transformational energy that we generated together at the retreat. It was still in my system. It was like a week after. And like, I shared from inside of that energy. And I think that just by sharing it, like it was a catalyst, right? So thanks to everybody,
right? Energy follows energy.
Yeah.
One piece just around the, like you were saying, you were doing this and saying there's so many pieces and
Yeah.
this and that, just like a concrete piece aside from the exercises. Once you connect the dots with the history that she's created, if she's not ready yet for that other work, or even if she is, she can do this for homework. You can then go back and have her pick any point that she put on that timeline, and then you can apply the learning to that point in the timeline. You can say, okay, if you were willing to be needy in that situation, what would you have done differently? Or if you were willing to cause disharmony for a greater sake, for the greater good, what might you have said in that
That's
situation, right? So there's, you can also kind of tie things in concrete ways so that she learns new ways of showing up in
right.
situations too, or look at a current situation that
Yeah.
she's in. Anything that anyone else wants to add or toss to what Lisa's sharing, or what you're learning for yourself from what Lisa and I are talking about? Solveig.
This is a bit of personal share that I think maybe connects with what your client might feel, Lisa. Like, I think it connects in some way because one of you just said there's so many pieces, and I just want to share that when I was, when I was at the retreat, I was working on this shadow dynamic that happens. I notice it mostly in, or one major place I notice it is with my sister. So this does connect. There is a connection, but I notice it mostly with my sister, and it like, and so last week I had the opportunity to be, I don't live in the same place as my sister, and last week I had the opportunity to spend time with my family, and my sister was there, and I was like, I have so many tools, like I'm so ready. I have so many things that I've learned. This is gonna be great. Like I'm like, I know this is gonna be a challenge, but I'm also so ready for it. And as I've shared with a couple of you for like 3 days, I was like, I am in my aligned fierceness. Like I'm listening to my evocation. Like this is so good. And then like day three, I was like, oh, there's so much here. And I was like, there's so many pieces. Was like, oh my gosh, like I mean, I did really well for a while, but there's also just so much here. And like, oh, like I, and oh, look at this, and oh, look at this. And I mean, I still haven't fully processed, but like just all of like a little bit of understanding of shadow that I feel like I have, and then my trying to work with it. And then, oh my gosh, there's so many pieces here that I need to work with. So, Joanna, when you've been saying in your emails, like work with your shadow, I'm like, which part? There's so much. Like, there's so many layers and there's so many things. So I think I just want to, I want to, I think what you said, Joanna, of like pulling pieces and parts of it over time. But I also just want to reflect, Lisa, your client may also be in a space where I am, where I'm just like, oh, but there's this and there's this and there's this and there's this. And like, okay, I'm really trying to integrate this, but whoa, this is a lot of work. Just that was coming up as I was listening.
Yeah, absolutely. So I there's a both and. Let's look at the both and. So for the first piece is, what do you want to celebrate from those first 3 days?
In this situation,
What
that
was
I was really able to accept my every time, like my own. I mean, Simona, what you shared about judgment, I'm just going to spend a lot of time on because I think there is something about me feeling unsafe in situations that is coming up in here. So now that's added to the things I need to think about. But I do want to celebrate that I felt in my aligned fierceness. I did feel it. I felt it, and I was super proud of myself.
And
Yeah.
yay, like yay, right? For 3 days, felt in your aligned fierceness, something that you've never really been able to have with your
Did
sister.
certainly didn't have the frame for it that I was feeling, right? Of like me tending to myself, and also like, yeah, and I also want to celebrate.
And me tending to myself too. Okay, so let's. Yes, so both and, right? And yes, there's so many pieces, but And tell me, because I don't ever want to blow sunshine up anyone's ass. So tell me if this is not true. But can we acknowledge and celebrate that a new pattern is beginning to be established here?
For sure. For sure. For sure.
That lasted not for 30 minutes, but for 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 3 days is also my track record with this situation. So there's a little bit of celebration. There's a little bit of, dang it, it would have been really cool if I could have made it for 4 days. Mm-hmm. So there is like both and there. But yeah, I mean, definitely I was starting to look at what was the dynamics from different ways. And I'm sure that I was showing up in different ways. So yes, I can celebrate that.
And you said that you were proud that you mm-hmm. were able to be in that fierceness. What specifically about it are you proud of? Why is it important for you that you showed up in that way? Not just because you decided it in a retreat. Right? Like, why was it actually important for you?
Because that is not the role I tend to play in my family. And it was like, even just having some level of fierceness is not a role I tend to play. And so it's shifting a dynamic within my family to even, to be a different way. So it's not only just with my sister, it's like in my family. So that's a big deal.
Yes.
And it is tending to me in those situations.
Yeah. So both of those things, right? It's like system changing, systemically.
And yeah.
The second piece, so big. This is the second time you've said it. When you're in that energy, Solveig, that is a way of you tending to you.
Yeah.
Of you taking care of you.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Right? So from there, yes, because life is life and messy, damn it. There, right, there's going to be this spin and that spin and that piece and all of it. And you work it piece by piece, but you don't lose this, right? You keep on plugging back into that energy. And not just when you're with your sister and with your family, in any situation that you continue to plug back into that energy, create stronger neural pathways around it, create deeper body memories around it, and practice tending to yourself in that way every time you do it. And that will impact all of the other little pieces. And it's also going to be work, all of the pieces mm-hmm. as well. And then as you work the pieces, you might realize, okay, actually that energy, I want it to shift 2 degrees this way because of that thing, okay. Right? And then you practice that, but you're in process with it now.
Okay. Can I just, can I repeat back to you just to make sure I'm tracking? So when I'm like, okay, I'm practicing this. And then I start noticing like, ooh, I feel shame around that. Ooh, I feel judgment around that. Like these pieces and parts come up and it just is a really great practice ground in this family dynamic. Is like the practice to make note of that. And then that's the shadow work is coming back to this, like, ooh, okay. So this particular thing showed up and it was like a new little, it feels like little strings that I'm pulling, like, okay, there's a new part to unravel. There's a new layer that I didn't see, which is a lot in the moment, but it is the practice. Am I hearing you say that the practice is just to pull on little pieces and work with them while I'm continuing with the aligned fierceness? Cause that was the first thing I identified.
Right. Yeah. So continue to work with the aligned. I mean, it might be that a new piece comes out and you just right. And then it morphs and you decide to change it to something else, but continue to come back to the aligned fierceness. And then a shame piece comes up. And so ask yourself, what's the part of me that's feeling shame around that right now? Or what's the belief inside of me that's feeling shame around that right now? Right. And you work with that, but it's going to be related. My sense is it's going to be related to the aligned fierceness. Right. And then if at any point it changes, but keep on plugging back in.
Okay, great. Okay. Thank you. I hope that helped in terms also, Lisa, when you're thinking about all the pieces that this person might be going through. Thank you.
Thank you. Good. Who else? Would you either want to add to what we've been talking about? Yeah, Elijah, or something new?
A little something new and super basic. I'm like, oh, you guys are amazing. I have like super basic things that are coming up. And I actually don't think I'm alone because several of us have, you know, we have like a WhatsApp thread going, and several of us have been able to meet on Zoom and like connect and do the homework. And just like looking at the very first homework assignment, like writing a letter from my shadow. When I went to go do that, I was like, wait, what's my shadow? Cause I started to write it like from the rock star, like take the stage thing. And then I'm like, oh no, that's not my shadow. Is that my shadow? I don't know what my shadow is. So then I was like, I don't know. And then everybody else was like, yeah, I don't know. And
I love it. It's that, remember I spoke about like confusion that can happen.
Yes.
Right. Like I saw it. No, I didn't see it. Where'd it go? I don't have this thing.
Pretty much. Yeah. And like, cause at the retreat, I was like, yes, I get it. Everything. I'm so clear. This is so powerful. And then all of a sudden, yeah. And this is like fairly typical for me post learning things. So there's that.
Yes, but what I do want to say, and I should have said this at the retreat, is that I spoke to resistance at the beginning of the retreat, and I should have spoken to resistance walking out of the retreat as well. I want to normalize that for you. Oh,
so you think this is resistance?
Yeah, don't you?
Well, I'm just seeing it as like, oh, I don't get it, which I guess is resistance.
Okay. Remember, the confused one is one of the resistance archetypes. And you were so clear around your rock star visibility empowered self.
Yeah.
When we were in the room together, and it kept on coming through, and it kept on coming through. There's no confusion.
Wait, so you're saying that's my shadow? Here's why I'm asking. Or there's something in my head, like shadow should be dark. And like being seen feels very light. Does that make sense? Okay.
Yeah. So,
then I'm like, wait, that can't be shadow. Also, can I just say there's another piece of this, which is the hyper. Like what is hypo? What is hyper? Also, I guess I'm in resistance. Cause I'm like, wait, I don't know. And I have used this with a client and it went really great. And I just pretended like I knew, what hypo and it was about, like, cause I was like, oh wait, is this hypo? Is this hyper? What? But then I was like, we're just choosing. We're just going to choose.
Yeah.
This was internally. I didn't say that out loud to her.
Well, yay for it going well with the client.
It went really well. Thank you. Huge.
Yeah. And so can we just look a little bit more?
Yeah.
Okay. So yes, rock star is light. And also what?
It was the place I felt so much shame.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Huh. It's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So what's coming together? What are you seeing?
I mean, at the most basic level, what I'm seeing is, and what I'm remembering is, like at the very beginning of the retreat, like here's how to start recognizing the shadow, and that shame is, I mean, in some ways it's like the number one clue.
Yeah.
It's like I have to somehow, I don't know, I can feel my brain redefining something for myself here, basically, because I'm sorry, I can't finish a sentence.
That's okay. Like, can we stick with it for a moment?
What's, yeah.
whatever you can, even if it doesn't make sense to us, just for yourself. Okay.
Say it just feels really basic. So I'm just like apologizing already for that. But like, it's like, okay, so if I was like, wait, what is my shadow? Rockstar seems very like bright and open and exciting. And then like, so the shadow must be like that hermit, my recluse, like, and so that's, but like, I mean, I can feel shame about the way I isolate completely and check out from life, like, but that's not really the thing. The thing that was like so shameful that I couldn't even say it out loud, and it was painful. And just looking at Rose, who like helped me so much on that. That even though I might have some like bright and even excited energy around it, that like just understanding it doesn't mean hypo, like
that's right. Yeah. The shame is actually around the rock star. So let me,
I think it is.
Okay.
And so like, I can't even believe I'm saying this out loud right now. Like that's like, I can, but sorry. Yes, it is.
Don't apologize. No, I'm glad we're right. And this is this, it's like, because it's shameful, it doesn't want to be seen. And so there's confusion around it, right? But we're like, we're seeing it more. So let me ask this question for an entrepreneur and a practitioner like yourself, Elijah, who is so committed to business as activism. Is so committed to there not being power plays in the industry, who is so committed to coaches not taking advantage of their clients in their businesses, how might you feel shame around your rock star self?
Right. A lot of ways. Like, I mean, yeah, who am I, of course, is like, who am I to, whatever, stand out. And then, I mean, for sure, like, I never want anybody else to feel bad.
That's right.
About who I am. Like, yeah. And then there's also like, you know, you can have fear, or I can have fear of like, fear of people judging me if I own my own energy and light and power.
Yes. To all.
And then that word power just comes up. And as soon as I'm like, well, power.
Yeah.
The fuck does that even mean?
Yes. You know,
I mean.
So that those are all the dark aspects of the rock star.
Yeah. Yeah.
And probably why you've been avoiding the rock star.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure there's even more if I sat down to like just journal that. So that's the letter I think I need to write now.
So first you can unpack that, and then in a different sitting, if you want and you're willing, step into the energy of that rock star, like the exaggerate it, be a caricature of it, and then write from that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
What's feeling important here? What are you taking?
Thank you, Rose. Well, what's feeling really important is a deeper understanding of how to, of what shadow is. Like that feels actually pretty crucial just for me, for me and my growth of it, also for my clients. And then just like, because of that, just understanding, like what my shadow is at a deeper level. This is, I'm just saying the same thing, but, at a deeper level. And then now I can work with it. Cause I feel like I haven't quite, because I was the confused one, I wasn't quite working with it over these last weeks in the way that, in the way that I want to ultimately. Yeah.
Okay, good. Keep us posted.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Kim.
So this is maybe even, and what's below basic? I mean, I feel like this for me is a semantic problem for me that I keep running into as I work with this word shadow. I've kind of come, and please tell me if I'm going to limit myself as I do this, I've come to think of shadow almost as a place, as a container, where I've put parts of myself that I either don't want or can't, or I'm ashamed to deal with. And so Elijah, do you mind if I just use your example? So when you call your rock star your shadow, to me, then I feel confused because I feel like it's your rock star that you've put into a place inside yourself that's a shadow. And it's that we put parts of ourselves. And right now you've gotten in touch with this beautiful capacity to be a rock star that you want to bring out of this place of the shadow and into your whole self. That's how I have been able to try to figure out. But then we call the parts of ourselves the shadow. And then I get confused. And so I'm sorry if I am raising something that is not, that's just me, but I get confused when we name our parts the shadow, when I feel like it's a place where we've stuck it out of all sorts of
people. I love that distinction. I think it's such a beautiful distinction. We've stuck the parts in the shadow. The shadow is the shadow. It's the hiding. It's the place where it's not seen. It's the place where things are in shadow. If it helps, you can call it like one of the shadow parts or parts in shadow. Yeah. So definitely use the always language is important. Definitely use the language that it makes sense for your brain or your client's brains or whatever it is. And that's I love that distinction. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good. Good. Anyone else want to share who hasn't spoken today? Anything you want to bring forward or ask? Bruce, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, two quick things. It hadn't occurred to me, but it's been really helpful the last few weeks to think of. I think I shared with the group, I got a bit of cancer going on, and the hypo thing is really both useful and interesting in terms of thinking myself about a life-threatening illness, and when I'm hyper about it and when I'm hypo about it, and just recognizing. So that's been really, it's been really interesting just to notice myself in that. And the second thing that's been useful is...
Wait, can I pause you there, Bruce?
Maybe, depends. I'll let you know. Get a sentence or two in and I'll just let you know whether you can continue or not.
Okay, I just want to reflect back what I think I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Is that when you go into the hyper... with the cancer, which is maybe like worry, 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 or when you go into the hypo with the cancer of like pretending that it's not there at all, I think what I'm hearing you say is in either way, you're actually avoiding the truth that you need to be present with in this, the balanced, aligned truth of the situation that's important for you to be present with, not too much blah, 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 and not like it doesn't exist.
Yeah, one side is I'm going to die for sure. And the other side is nothing is going to beat me.
Yeah.
And so it's really helpful to I just notice both of those sides feel really good in the moment.
Yeah.
Really good in the moment. When I get to be the victim and the other, I'm the hero.
Yeah.
And so just being in the middle, though, is really helpful. And I feel more a lot more present, but also more energetically ready to move out of that. And the second thing I wanted to say is the I have totally enjoyed what I've noticed about the hyper and hypo is when I observe myself from the balcony, I frequently laugh at myself. about the hyper and hypo thing in different situations. And there's something about being able to laugh at myself that enables me to be more creative in finding solutions. As long as I'm in one of those, my imagination is stunted. And so being in the middle then and being able to laugh, I've noticed I come up with a lot more creative ideas. So anyway.
I'm so glad you're bringing that in, because that lightness, right? It doesn't have to all be so dark and heavy, kind of that lightness. Mm-hmm. And that seeing how the hyper and hypo are ridiculous caricatures in some ways.
Right.
I love that. That activates that creativity. Thank you.
Well, one more comment. I think that's part of me not being a therapist and not having training in being a coach, is I was raised to think that all of these understanding yourself things are very serious things, and they're deep and they're not to be taken lightly. And so part of it, you know, getting over that and recognizing the humor in it is important.
Yes, 100% to that. Thank you. I've got some questions that I want to close us out with, but before we get there, we have time for, Naomi.
Hi, everybody. I'm in a dark room because I have a concussion.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear it. I hope you're okay.
Yeah, it's a pretty shitty situation. It's 1 week in, but, you know, time is everything. So bear with me. My memory is really bad right now. What was my question? Yes. Okay. I had a client the other day and a really big shadow part came up and she didn't want to go there. And it was very interesting for me. She's somebody who's very practicing Christian. And it's like very big part of her languaging and everything. Okay, so how did it go? So she was reacting to this image that came up for her of death. And she was very triggered. And I, you know, helped her slow down. And I invited her to ask herself if there was some grief here she hadn't looked at, and she said yes. And I said, I want to invite you to consider two options. One, if you feel comfortable, you can name the grief, we can talk about it or not talk about it as much as you like, or you can speak about it in gibberish, which, for those who don't know, gibberish is a made-up language of sounds, and I use it a lot for folks who don't feel like talking. So she was going to guess, and it was really helpful for her. And she started laughing, and it was really like it broke the ice for her to actually be able to get into some tears. And she was able to feel. But she didn't want to go further than that at first. And then she kind of quickly bypassed what came up with those tears. And she's like, I want to move to something else. And I tried to invite her to take a little bit more of a pause and to look a little deeper, but she was very clear she didn't want to. And so I just wanted to honor where she was, and I said, okay, well, let's go where you want to go. So we moved on, and then I had this very clear channeled message for her, and I was like questioning if I could offer it or not. And I asked her, I said, I'm receiving a message for you. It's from the angel of death. May I share it with you? And she said, well, I'm open to hearing it, but I may not be open to receiving it. And I said, okay. So I shared the message. And then she said, I hear it, I do not receive it. And she was like so strong in her boundaries. And it was very interesting. On the one hand, as a practitioner, I was thinking like, oh dear, I really see there's a lot to unpack here. There's a lot of grief around death and the family that she's lost, that she's like, a lot here. I could feel that. And on the other hand, as Naomi, on a personal level, I was like, wow, she's amazing and with boundaries, and I need to learn that from her, you know? So I'm curious about, I was very conscious of asking permission, you know, and I remember you modeled that, Joanna, you know, asking clients can we go a little deeper? And I was very conscientious of that. And she could feel that and she felt really supported. I did find it tricky knowing that, like, I really feel like there's a lot of grief there, and it would be really helpful for her to unpack it. But of course, I don't want to push. So I'm curious about, like, we have another session coming up, and I'm just curious about what you think a next step could be.
Yep. Well, let's go back to the session that happened already, because I think it's important for us to look at a couple of pieces there. First of all, I love that gibberish piece. I just have to say that I can see how that could be a beautiful way of opening up the flow of emotion. And it sounds like it really did for her. Really, really nicely done. When she had, so that was a beautiful work that you did together, and there was some breakthrough there. And then after that breakthrough, the client, you know, clearly said, I don't want to go, and like, we're done on that for today. Mm-hmm. And you heard it and you moved on. So that, I think that was very important that you did that. And, you know, and this goes back to what we were saying earlier in the call. Sometimes breakthrough is too much, or even like too much going into, especially an emotion like grief, like we can experience and then integrate it and then experience some more and integrate it. So it sounds like she knew her limit and she was done with that for right then and there. Mm-hmm. When you got that message, Naomi, I'm not saying that you had an agenda, but it's important in that moment for us to check our filters, even if we're highly, highly intuitive and we hear from the angels. It's important for us in that moment to check our filters and ask, like, what I'm hearing, like, the fact that I really want to share this, is that my agenda or is that the client's agenda? And I get that there's angel agenda in there too, but do you know what I'm saying? Because she was so clear about her boundary. And I think that even though you use the creating awareness skills of may I, already at that point, it was a little bit of a violation of the boundary that she had set for that session. Does that land for you?
Yeah, totally. Can I tell you what's interesting as a follow-up? So there's a lot of breakthroughs after that moment, and just the fact that she was so clear, it was actually affirming for her to make that strong boundary a second time, because she said, no, I do not welcome the angel of death. I only choose to welcome the angel of life right now. That is all. And she was like so strong. And I said, yes, sister, that's amazing. Yes. And I just went with her and celebrated with her and got her to unpack how that felt to like really affirm that. And then after the session, she received a channeled message from me that she sent me. And it was like, I've never had a client do that for me. Mm-hmm. So she sent me a voice note, which was very powerful. So it was very interesting. But, and thank you. I really appreciate the languaging around like a violation of her boundary, because I really questioned speaking it, yet this like angelic message was so strong. Would you suggest kind of writing it down in future and like, you know, like a week later or something like that, if it still feels like something that needs to be shared with her, check in about it, or just let it go altogether?
Yeah, you can absolutely, if it feels important, you can absolutely write it down. Mm-hmm. And then in the next session, you know, just, I wouldn't check, say I got a message from the angel of death for you, but I would check in, like, you know, I would honor and celebrate the work that was done around the grief in the last session. And then ask the client, you know, if they just want to share anything around what they've been learning, what's been resonating around it, if that feels right for them. And if it, you know, and then ask them what they want to receive from the session. If they want to go deeper on that pathway, in the session, then if there is a right moment to bring the message in, asking for permission first, then that's great. But if not, you have to see where it goes. But you always want to go with the client's agenda.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you so much. That's great.
Yeah, thanks. Great question. I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
All right, we have a few minutes left. Angie is asking, did anyone capture any of the framing for doing the evocation exercise? I can share. I'll put something together. I will make sure you all have some prompts on that. There was a question there about a book. I don't have a book. I should have a book to recommend, but I don't. But it looks like Bruce has one. James Hollis. I'll see if there are any books that encapsulate. What I was pulled together in the retreat were from like my lots of different places, plus my own experience and things that I had created. I don't have like one kind of place book that... Anyway, thank you, Bruce. Okay, in our last minutes together, a question or two for you. Number one, or maybe three. First question, on an inner level, what would you like, if anything, to what activity, action on an inner level would you like to do, if any, to continue to work with a part that's in shadow? Maybe you had really wanted to do the collage. Maybe you want to keep on journaling. Maybe you want to put on music and move as that part of yourself. Maybe you want to take yourself on that date from the shadow interview. Is there an inner piece that you'd like to be working on? And then, well, I'll give you another moment on that. And then next question, outer. So what is an outer action that you feel called to take from your aligned shadow? Simona gave us a great example at the beginning of the call with the outreach, right? Taking that from that aligned shadow place, an outer action. We don't want to just continuously do inner work without pairing it with taking outer steps that are likely stretches for us, that are likely going to create discomfort. Remember, discomfort is different than pain. Discomfort is actually almost always part of the growth process. So what is an outer action that you would like to take from the aligned place? And if you don't know the answer to that question, you can do some journaling with the aligned place and over the next week and ask it too. And then last question for now, if in your client work, you sometimes, we just don't see the opening to bring this in. It definitely has to be the right moment. But that aside, if you've been recognizing this month that you want to bring it into your client work, but you've kind of been tentative, or afraid or holding yourself back, what is a higher truth that you want to remember that can really help you with that when you get to your session? What is a higher truth around maybe some of the fear or the tentativeness? All right. Well, my invitation to each of you is, I don't think any of you will, but to not let this slip into ethers, to come back to it and to come back to it and work with it in any ways that are appropriate and aligned for you on the inner and on the outer. As we said in the retreat, part of the invitation is to make this a new way of life, to be present with, in compassionate and loving ways, the parts of yourself that have been put into that shame place, under the shadow, rejected. Make it a way of life to be with all the parts of yourself. I am sending all of you so much love. I really just, I miss us all being together. And I've just thought about it so much this last month. It has, it's just been deeply impactful for me. So thank you, thank you. As it always is when we're together, if you need anything, let me know. We're together next officially as a group for our last retreat. In the beginning of December, we're going to be looking at the warrior and boundaries. But hopefully I'll see you in different ways before then. And I'm sending you lots of love. Bye.
Bye, everyone.